In your word, we need you to help us to open our heart so we can come to senses to see the importance of your decree and your command. So can help us to guide us to the way you want us to be, and also be able to inherit the land you have been promised through our ancestors. We pray in the name of Jesus. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 1 is the first word is contain a lot of information. So when you digest that verse 1, actually we can expand to and about an hour just for the sermon alone. Because for the verse 1 they say be careful. Whenever the word of God say be careful, and then you have to be watch out. Just like the parents talking to the children. Be careful. Be careful of what? Be careful to not text when you're driving. Why? Because you can see way ahead as there's a police there monitoring you and everything. So that's why you have to be careful. So God say, be careful, because God can see going to be a lot of hindrance for you to be able to get the inheritance God has been promised to our ancestors. So the bottom line, why God asks us to be careful, because you have a better return or better promise or better land for you prepared for you already. So that's why you have to be very careful. Why we have to be careful? If we're going to be careful, how are we going to be careful? Based on what? You know, like your mom or your parent asks you to be careful, you know, driving because too cold and have to dress well, and this is easy. But if God asks you to be careful, why have to be careful? And if you want to be careful, what do you want us to follow? And God says, you have to follow every command I'm giving you. If you don't follow every command I'm giving you, you will lose your life, you will not be able to increase your descendants or your generation, your children, or you may not be able to enter the promised land. Even you enter the promised land, you may not be able to possess the land I promised you. Why in the Deuteronomy chapter 8 and also the Psalm chapter 37 talking about the land? So, and then we're going to go over that, why we have to be talking about the land. And then not only that, they say, you have to be careful. You have to follow every command, because every command I'm giving you is help you to navigating to the hurdles you might have. Also to help you to navigating, make sure that you don't make me so mad, so I will decline whatever you have. So the command is helping you to instruct you how to get to the clear path, how to jump all the hurdles, how to not get distracted, how to focus yourself, and how to refocus yourself to be able to enter and possess the land God has been promised on the oath to your ancestors. So when is God have promised on oath to your ancestors? Do you remember that? Do you know when? Do you remember on the chapter Genesis chapter 15, the first time when God appeared to Abraham, God blessing Abraham, tell him a little bit of the plan. Your children are going to be like a star and like a sand in the chapter 15. And then on the chapter 17, God revealed to Abraham again. And Abraham asked God, the promise you have, how do I know? Could you give me assurance? And God said, okay, give me assurance. You need to circumcise. So Abraham followed God and said, well, I have a covenant with you. The proof with the covenant is I circumcise and ask my children to circumcise. I said, okay, that's good. And then on the chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22, God seeing Abraham, He's willing to sacrifice his son, and God was so happy. So So God happy to the point on the verse 16, chapter 22, verse 16. God, he say, I swear by myself, declare the law, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. God is so happy. That's why he swear by myself. And how do we know he is so happy? Because on the verse 27, he said, I will surely bless you and make your descendants. 22 verse 17, I will surely bless you. So when the people say, I'm surely bless you, I'm sure, it means they're happy. So God is so happy seeing Abraham withholding his son, and the only son. Why is God so happy? Because Abraham doing exactly what God will be doing. So God will give his only son. So that's why God is so happy. You can magnify myself. You can magnify my plan. That's why God is so happy. Say, God is happy to the point and say, I swear by myself. When he swear by myself, and we have to find out, what does that mean, swear by myself? Why God needs to be swear by himself? So we can take a look at the Hebrew chapter 6 and help us why God needs to swear by himself. On the chapter 6, verse 13, God says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there's no one greater for himself, for him to swear by, he sworn by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. God is so happy. So promise Abraham, nothing is greater than himself, so we have to swear by himself. Do you know when you, every time when someone swear, you have to be, someone has to be bigger than himself, right? When you go to court, when you swear, what do you swear on? Not swear to yourself, you swear on the Bible, because the Bible is bigger than you. Right? That's why God is swear by himself. And also, why you need to swear? On the Hebrew chapter 6, 15, say, when I swear, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and oath confirms that it's set and put an end to all the arguments. So when the people swear, he say, yeah, stop all the arguments. I swear on the one is higher than myself. And the verse 17, he say, because God wants to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heir of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. Now it has come to the question. What does that mean by unchanging nature? He was saying, because God wants to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heir of what was promised. And he confirmed it with an oath. Unchanging nature. Unchanging nature is a God attribute. When God speaks, whenever his thought is, whatever his promise, it's not going to be changed. So this is called unchanging nature. When his thought is, when he promises, and when he speaks, it's not going to be changed. That's called unchanging nature. How do we know that God is going to be unchangeable nature? Do you know in what condition the people will change? Under what circumstances people will change their mind? Will change their decision? You have to understand why the human being will change. Why God not change? Because people living in the time. When we are living in a time, when time comes by, when you're getting mature, and whatever the decision we have before, we will change. That's why some people say, oh my goodness, I married the wrong woman. Or the woman say, I married the wrong man. If I know that ahead of time, if I know that 20 years ago, I won't do that. Why? Because they're living in a time. The time is changing. Because God put us in a time, time will change. So our decision will change. When we get mature, we will be changing as well too. But God is not living in a time. God make time. So that's why God is, his nature, his attribute is called unchanging nature. When you're living in a time, I can guarantee that you will change. God make time. God, how do we know God make time? How do we know? God created us on the sixth day, according to the Genesis. He created us on the sixth day and then put us in the time. When in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God is saying, let there be light, and there was light. God is light. In God, there's no darkness. How is the time formed? Time has to be formed between the day and the light, and call that this is one day. We call one day. So when you call establish one day, it means that the time is counting already. So whenever you can see the day and the light, this is one day. Second time you see the day and the light, this is the second day. God put us in the time, so we always changing our mind. We always changing our time. We always would never be able to make promise and able to fulfill. Only God himself, with his attribute, he is an unchanging nature. He is not living in the time. He is living out of the time. That's why he can predict, he can see something is coming. But we cannot, because we are living in the time. So that's why God is unchanging nature to help us. And then not only that, also David himself, he also see the benefit of being obeying the law, and then what would be the benefit of it. Okay, let's take a look at the Psalm chapter 25. According to the Genesis chapter 22 verse 18, they're saying, through your offspring and all the nations on earth will use your name, of your name offspring, in blessing, because you have obeyed me. Because God is so happy seeing Abraham obey God, so that's why God is, surely I'm going to bless you, surely I'm going to be swear to by myself. And then because David is seeing the importance of obeying. Bear in mind, obeying is always come second. If you did not have a heart of fearing God, you never be able to obey. So the most important thing is, first of all, you have to fear God first. When we fear God, and then we will obey. So that's why David himself, he see the benefit of being obeyed and fear God. So that's why he put it down on the verse on the Psalm chapter 25, verse 12. He was saying, who then are those who fear the Lord? For those people who fear the Lord, God will instruct those people who fear the Lord in the way they should choose. So this is the benefit of being fear the Lord. When you fear the Lord, and you will obey the Lord. When you obey the Lord, God seeing you obey me. Okay, I will instruct you the way you should choose. This is very important. It means we are surpassed the time. But sometimes very hard to choose the way, because we do not see the forecoming, the future. If God help us to choose the way we want, He wants us to choose, and that we will eliminating a lot of hurdles in our life. So in the verse 13, it says, they will spend the day in prosperity. For those people, they fear the law, obey the law, they will spend the day in the prosperity. What's that mean? Spend the day in the prosperity. It means you're inheriting the land. You're inheriting the land. And their descendants will inherit the land. You not only inherit the land, inheriting the land, also your children also inheriting the land. And then the verse 14, it says, the Lord will confine us in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known. On the verse 14, he says, God will make his covenant known. How? Because on the Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, that's what God tells to Abraham. Your descendant going to be, you're going to have a lot of descendants. The descendant going to have inheritance our land. So that's why God make his covenant, make Abraham know. And then Abraham, He's starting to realize, I see. I can inherit the land, eh? Okay. Why is God talking about inheriting the land? Why is always talking about the land? Does anyone know why he's talking about the land? Obviously, if God every time we always mention about the heaven, also mention about the land, obviously that land is something we miss, something we lost. That's why he talk about it. Do you know when the kids, they're not listening to the parent, when the parent take the Game Boy away, do you know what will they do? In the morning, they talk about to the mom, give me the Game Boy back. In the afternoon, they talk about that. At night, they talk about that until they get it. Why? Because they lost it. That's why God is talking about the land all the time. Why God talking about the land all the time? Because eighth Adam, he lost the land. He been kicked out. That's why he lost. He lost the land, he lost the power. That's why God said, okay, seeing the Adam lost the land and lost the power, I'm going to restore the power and restore the land to you. So that's very important. And then also the land, what kind of people living in the land, living in their inherited land, on the chapter 37. Yes, I know. What kind of people they living in the land. But we're going to talk about that later on, okay? So bear in mind, it's very, very important. It's very important. Why are we talking about the land? Because Adam, he lost the land. That's why God wanted to restore the land back to us. And then chapter 8, verse 2. It says, remember how the Lord your God leads you all the way in the wilderness this 40 years to humble you, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you should keep his command. He said, remember how the Lord your God leads you all the way in the wilderness this 40 years to humble you. Why God want to humble us? Why God want to humble us? You know, for those people, in order to be taught, in order the teaching will be able to enter their heart, first of all, they have to be humble first. That's why God is saying, you have to humble first before my decree and command can get into your heart. But God knows people not easy to be humble. So the kid, much easier to humble than the adult. And the adult much easier to humble than the middle age. And middle age much easier to be humble than the people who are senior. So in order for us to be able to memorize the word of God and the decree and the command, God has to be humble. How is God going to be able to humble us? He will be using a lot of instruments. Because why are we using all the instruments? Because this is a plan B. He doesn't want to do that. Don't force God to do that. God wants you to have a smooth sailing all the way to the inheritance. But if he doesn't know, God has been prepared the inheritance for you, and then you're going to walk your own way, God's going to help you to humble yourself using the different type of environment, such as putting you in the wilderness, being alone. Your existing wealth is going to be wiped out, and your health, and your sickness, and your career, and your family separation, and your children rebellion, and your uncertainty in your life. That kind of thing is helping you to humble yourself. When you encounter that kind of thing, you know that is a signal. God wants us to teach us something. God is speaking. So that's why God put those people in the wilderness. Why the wilderness? To be alone, not going to be depending on the Egypt, not going to get the supply from the Egypt, not based on resources, based on the Egypt. I put you in the center place in the wilderness. You cannot depend on anything. And then I can speak to you. Why have you speak to him? Let him know. I have prepared the land for you already. The land has been lost by Adam. So that's why I want you to regain the land back. But you have to be humble in order to get the word penetrating into your heart. And then God say, not only to humble you, and also want to test you. Why God want to test us? Is he supposed to know me already? Why is he test us? Because in the Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, every instrument have to be tested in order to be used, including the human being. And in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, we say, crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the man's heart. All the instruments have to be tested, but using all the commodities have to be tested in order to be able to extract the pressure. Have to be tested. The human being cannot be tested by the crucible. The human being cannot be tested by the furnace. The human being has to be tested by God, because we are coming from God. Have to be God be able to test us. Because the crucible and the silver, furnace and gold all coming from earth. So you're using earthly things to test those earthly things. We're coming from God, God will be testing us. So on the verse 3, on chapter 17, verse 4, he says, a wicked people listen to deceitful lips, and liar pay attention to a destructive tongue. So after being tested, and then you will know that kind of friends who we stick around with. For those people, after they're being tested, why is God testing us? Just want to let you know yourself how wicked you are. When you're smart enough and say, oh yeah, I'm so wicked, I ask for the forgiveness. I say, sure. Your wickedness will be forgiven, will be wiped out. And then for those people, they still keep on doing what they're doing. And then we see our friend is doing exactly what they're doing. So we know, oh, that guy is a wicked man. That's why I'm not going to be hanging around with him. Because he's not going to be helping me. He's distracting me. Distracting me to not be able to inherit the land God's been promised to my ancestors. On the Proverbs 25, verse 3, is also saying, as the heaven are higher and the earth is deep, so the heart of kings are unsearchable. Seeing the man, the heart is so deep, unsearchable. That's why he himself cannot even search his heart. The only way he can know himself is by God testing your heart. Without the testing, you never know your heart. How good is it? How bad is it? So on the verse 4, they say, remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. So in order for you to be able to enter the kingdom, enter the inherited land, you have to remove all the necessary stuff in order for you to get into it. He say, on the verse 5, he say, remove wicked official from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. So without the testing, we never know what kind of stuff do we have inside our heart. So after the test, and then we know, and then we can measure ourselves, and then how we are, because the prophet saying that so the heart of the king are unsearchable. We ourselves don't even know our heart is. So the only thing we know is through the test by God. So and after the test, and then you will know to see whether our heart are willing to keep his command. If we're going to keep his command, and then God say, you will be able to possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. And then, like I say before, in the verse Psalm chapter 37, it talk about 8 times, talk about the land. And then we like to find out what type of characteristic of the people they are enter the land. So on the Psalm 37, verse 3, He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Those are the people dwelling in the land. God talking about the land again. So obviously, Adam lost the land, lost his territory. He's been kicked out by God. He lost it. So God's going to be restored back to him. He said, that is that kind of people trust in the Lord. Those that kind of people will be able to enter the kingdom. So that's why on earth we have to learn how to trust him. If you don't learn how to trust him, even though you can get to the heaven, to the promised land, and in seeing those people they trust in God, you will be look so stupid and look so odd. Because on earth you better learn how to practice. This is the first characteristic of the people. They grow in the land. And then the second characteristic on the verse 9. He says, for those who are evil will be destroyed. It means those people that are evil, they're not going to be able to inherit the land. For those people, they keep hope in the Lord, inherited the land. Remember, Pastor John talked about the Joseph? He keep hope. He said, don't bury me. Put it on the living room, my coffin. Because I have a hope, because I make sure you send my coffin back to the promised land. You got a hope. That's kind of people able to inherit the land. And then verse 11. But the meek will inherit the land. The third one. People who is humble. And verse 18. The fourth characteristic of the people. The blameless spend the day under the law. Take care. And the inheritance will endure forever. The blameless. And the verse 22, he says, those the Lord blesses. Who get blessed from the Lord? Abraham. That kind of person. He will be inherited the land. And then verse 27, he says, turn from evil, do good. Those people turn from the evil. And then they do good. It means that kind of people, they repent. They've been evil too. They started to realize evil not going to do me any good. So they turn from evil. And they repent and do good. And that kind of people will dwell in the land forever. It's talking about the land again. Right? So very important, what we lost, and God's going to give it back to us through many means. And verse 29, he says, the righteousness will inherit the land. Who? Who be called righteousness? Abraham. How is Abraham called righteousness? Because he has a faith on God. So God credited him as a righteousness. Whoever being credited by God as righteousness, they will be able to grow in the land. And in verse 34, hope in the Lord. They have a hope in the Lord. The Lord, I have a hope in you because I know I will be inheriting the land you have promised to my ancestors. I have a hope. Just like Joseph has a hope. Just like Isaac, he has a hope. Those people, they will be inheriting the land. So we know when we go to heaven, when we go to the promised land, and then we know we will see that kind of people around us. So we have to adjust our lifestyle to be like them. Because otherwise we won't be able to get into the promised land. God has been promised to our ancestors. And in verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3, he humbled you. Cause you to hungry and feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Humble you. We're talking about humble you again. Why are you so many? Verse 2 is talking about humble, verse 3 is talking about humble. Obviously, The man is not easy to humble. Man is so proud. Even the young kids, they're so proud of themselves too. Because the humble is very important. If you're not going to be humble, God will use His way to make sure that you're going to be humble. He will cut all the resources. So that resources you're depending on, He'll cut it off. Because those resources were hindering you not to be able to humble and then not be able to observe His command. If you're not be able to observe His command, so we cannot possess the land as promised on the oath to your ancestors. So that's why in plan B, God has to be humble you to make sure that you get back to the land I promised to your ancestors. So God says, man does not live on bread alone. Doesn't mean bread is not important. If you cannot, if you eat bread, and you will die. But it's not the most important. But the most important thing is come from the mouth of the Lord. What is coming from the mouth of the Lord? Because if you're depending on the bread, you cannot take it to heaven. If you're going to be coming from the mouth of the Lord, what the mouth of the Lord say? He said, you will be inheriting the land. That is the one is the most important thing. If you're depending on the bread, you won't get to the heaven. If you depend on the bread, you cannot get the promised land. If you're going to depend on the word of the God by the mouth of the word of God, and then you can get it. Because the mouth of the from the mouth of the Lord, He's saying, you inherit the land as I promised on the oath to your ancestors. That is the one we have to be holding on. And verse 4, he says, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swore during these 40 years. You know, in that case, it's not easy because God has to be created some type of environment. And then not too humid, not too dry. And then your clothing lasts for 40 years. I remember when I living in Hong Kong, my clothes only last for 1 or 2 years because it's so humid. It will turn out by itself. Whether I'm too active or not, I don't know why. But in Canada, the weather is so nice. The dress you have, you bought it 40 years ago, and it's still wearing. Because you have to have an environment in order to be able to get that. So God has been creating an environment for 40 years. For those people, they don't have to change the clothes. And then through the testing and the humble you, and by the testing you and the humble you, and verse 5, he say, then, knowing then, through the testing and through the humbling you, and then by then you will know in your heart. When you know your heart is so wicked, when you're so wicked, as a man, as a father on earth, you will discipline you. That's what they're saying on the verse 5. After you being tested, after you being taught to be humble, and then you know in your heart, oh, how wicked I am. And then when you see how wicked you am, what do you think of your father seeing you? Your father is saying, well, because you're so wicked, I have to discipline you. He's saying, because your father on earth will discipline you. Can you imagine your heavenly father seeing you? Don't you think he will not discipline you? Of course he will discipline you. Why do you want to discipline you? He wants you to possess the land I've been giving you. Talking about the land again. Right? That's why discipline, after you've been disciplined, you're starting to observe the command of the law and start to refocus yourself. Start to refocus yourself. You say, oh, God has been giving me inheritance. God wants me to take care of the land He's been giving me. He's talking about the land on the verse 6. Chapter 8, verse 6. Observe the command of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to Him, and fear Him. So like you say, in order for us to obey, you have to know who we are fearing. We have to fear God. Why have to fear? It means you have to cherish. It's not fear something, I'm scared. No, cherish. Worship is part of fear. Worship God is part of fear. That's why we have to come to worship Him. If you don't come to worship Him, it means we are not fearing. We only take a 7 days, only take 1 day, at the most 3 hours, at the most 2 hours. So we have to demonstrate ourselves. We are fearing Him. We worship Him. We cherish Him. We cherish our relationship with God. That's why we come to worship Him. He said, observe the command of the Lord, your God, walking in obedience to Him and cherish Him. Cherish Him. Obedient. Why God wants to obey? Because in the path we are walking through, we are walking with so many traps. So many traps. So that's why you have to listen to me, because I can see so many traps, so many distractions. On the chapter 8, verse 12 to 20, those are the distractions. Those are the distractions can cause us not be able to inherit in the land. Our wealth, our house, our wealth and everything. Those are the things that are distracting us to have a bigger, to get a bigger land. So that's why obedience is very important. Before the obedience starts, we have to be cherished God, we have to fear God. We have to worship God. And verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Why He wants you to obey? And verse 7, talk about the Lord for your God is bringing you into a land with brook, stream, deep spring, gushing out into a valley and a hill. On the verse 8, do you know what's the verse 8 talking about? It's talking about all those stuff you can be able to multiply. God gives you the seed. The more important thing, if you get a seed, and then you can multiply. You can plant. God gives you the seed, you can plant. This is really good commodity. That's why the people saying the when you go to superstore, veggie so expensive, $6 something. Okay. The worst thing is I moved to the condo, so I cannot plant. But that's okay. I know some way I can buy the seed and then go to Sherwood Park. They have a land. I can rent. I can plant. For those people living in the house, they got the land, get a seed, they can plant the veggie. When you plant your veggie, it turns out to be only 80 cents rather than $6. But God gives you the seed, and you can plant yourself. You can self-sufficient. And then also the verse 9, God gives you the rock and gives you the copper. And then the rock itself, they have a mineral. The rock itself, we can discover the copper. The rock itself, we can discover the gold and the silver. And then you can discover with the iron. The iron you can use to build a house. Those are commodities. And then you can find it in one place. You don't need to import. Just not like in China. China, everything has to be import. Right? Land, the land God giving them is all self-sufficient. And not only sufficient, you also be able to export out to earn extra money. Can you guys see that? This is goodie. You can have a self-sufficient, you have a seed, you have a veggie and everything. And then you can fill everything. You can sell the gold, you can sell silver. So those are the land God has been giving those people. And verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Those are all commodities. It's not you. It's not you find it. God put you in the place so we can discover and He can find it. So that's why you have to praise the Lord. Seeing we're talking about the land so many times, they're talking about the Old Testament. It's a Joshua. Moses not be able to take the people from Egypt to the promised land. Only Joshua to finish up whatever the Moses left. So Joshua took the people into the promised land already. Why are we still talking about the land? Are we talking about history? Or are we talking about the future? So obviously, when you're talking about the land, you're talking about the future. So what the Joshua taking the people to the promised land is only the image, the foreshadow of our land.
And let's take a look at the Hebrew chapter 4, verse 1. It's been explaining to us. Hebrew chapter 4.
And then he's saying, well, Joshua has been talking about the land, and we never explained why we're talking about the land again in here. And Hebrew chapter 4, verse 1 is saying, before seeing the promise of entering his rest still stands. The rest, his rest, it means it's the land of promised land. That's the land we will rest. That's the land we are going to be rest whatever we do on earth, and we don't have to do that. And let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So that's what the Hebrew chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1 says. Be careful. Don't fall short of it. Because we are talking about the rest, the place. The rest. For we all, and verse 2, for we also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. In order for us to be able to not fall short, we have to be able to have a faith. The faith has to be through the obedience. And then the verse 3 says, now we who have believed enter the rest, enter the promised land, enter the heaven. And just as God has said, so I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest, enter my promised land, enter my inheritance. And yet his work has been finished in the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the 7 day. In this word, on the seventh day, God rests from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he said, he shall never enter my rest. Therefore, sin is still remained for some to enter the rest, since those who formerly had the good news proclaiming to them did not go in because of his disobedience. God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua has given them rest already, God would not have spoken later about another day. That there remained then Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enter God's rest also rests from the work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest and enter the land, so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. So what we're seeing from that passage, obedience, the advantage of obedience, the disadvantage of obedience. So Joshua has been taking those people to the promised land. And God says, after the Joshua taking the people in the promised land, only the foreshadow of the inherited land. So God has been a place preparing for us already. So that's why do not fall short, not be able to get into the promised land. So on the 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, saying, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil and fade or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. That's exactly referring back to Hebrews chapter 4. How do we get into the promised land? How do we get into the promised land? It's in the Acts chapter 13, Paul has been mentioned through the Christ Jesus. That is the only way. Do you know what happened? Without the promise of Abraham, that we don't need any redemption. Because there's no promise of Abraham of the inherited land. So if Adam lost the land, so let it be, lost the land, that's it. And everybody go to hell, that's it. So if no promise to Abraham, we don't need a salvation. There's no salvation. If there's no salvation, there will be no redemption. If there's no redemption, we don't need Christ. If we don't have Christ, we have no hope. We have no hope, we all go to go to hell, right? So because of the promise of the Abraham, since God promised the Abraham, God have to provide the redemption. Since God provided redemption, who can be able to redeem us? Only Christ himself, he can be able to redeem us. If you look at the Hebrew, only Christ can be able to redeem us. So that's why God has to prepare Christ himself to be flesh like us. Because only Christ be able to redeem us. Because we are so cherished. We are so expensive. Only the expensive stuff be able to redeem the expensive stuff. So without the promise, we don't need Christ. If we need Christ, we need the blood. We need the blood of the covenant. So that's why the promise is very important. Just the promise alone can have a cascade of many, many things. Without the promise, without the restoration of the land, we don't need Christ. Because God has been promised us. I want to restore the land back to you. But in order for you to be able to restore, I want to see the blood of Jesus. If you, whoever trusting in Jesus, covered by the blood of Jesus, and then you'll be able to enter the promise land, and you'll be able to restore. When you be able to get a promise, you make sure that you can walk through the promise. How do we walk through the promise? With the word of God guiding us. Because so many hurdles we have to jump. So many traps try to trap us. So many distractions in the world. So many iPhones, so many stuff distracting us. So be not shortfall, not be able to get into the land, the promised land. The land is very important. We have to be restored back to the land. We have to go back to the land. The land, when we get the land, we have a people. When we have a people, it means you restore the power. That's the land all about. Restoring your power. The Adam has been lost. So let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, you've been talking about the land many, many chapters through Old Testament and the New Testament. And then through your command, through your decree, is helping us to understand your word is the bottom line is restoring us back to the promised land. But in order for us to go back to the promised land, when Joshua took the people Israelite out from Egypt, going to the promised through wilderness, going to the promised land, they have a lot of physical fight in order to get there. But nowadays, we have a lot of spiritual fight. We're fighting left and right. In our mind, in our daily, we have so many transactions. For all those transactions have been distracting us not to be able to obey you, to humble ourselves, to listen to you. So we ask God to help us to be able to follow through with the help of your decree and your command to help us walking through. Because we know we have a long way to go. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to help us to obey you, to be able to humble and possess the land you've been promised on the oath to our ancestors. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.